lark back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, neighbor. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to brighten up your day in May. Good morning, Mae.
Good morning, Fred. And thank you, Fred. And I want to say happy... You have a mother living, haven't you, Fred? Well, I thought you had. I want to say happy day to your dear mother on this Mother's Day morning. And God bless her. And happy day to Jim Kendrick's mother. God bless you too, Mother Kendrick. Tomorrow is a great day for mothers, and I'm so glad. And I wish I had time to say happy day to about 35. I counted... last night as I led about 35 mothers. Oh, there's more than that, but there's 35 I'd love to talk to. It seems to, I wish I had a mother living. Oh my, it's a sad day for me. It seems to me but just yesterday that she was here on Mother's Day. But my mother would be 117 if she were living. Think of it. And 50 years from today, there will be many mothers and many fathers living to much past 100. Maybe past 117. That's what they say, and I don't doubt it. My, it simply dazes me to contemplate what may be doing in this world 50 years from today. Did you all sit by the television the other night and see the doctors take out a man's heart and work with it and wool it around and then put it back with a new coronary plastic artery that'll last longer than he'll last? And all the time, the man was staying alive by a little machine near his bed, which was pumping blood just as good and really a lot better than it was pumped by his heart. He should have lived indefinitely that way, and they took his heart out and fixed it and so on. And in a very few days, he was up and all right. They showed him up and well, showed the others. Oh, my. The new things which stagger us. Yes, and the old things. I have to tell you about this quickly. Last night I picked up a recent Life magazine and looked at a picture of a great huge craft of some kind they've discovered on rugged Mount Ararat, just where the Bible says that Noah's Ark landed. It's in the center of a landslide on the slope of the mountain, only 25 miles from the Russian border. The landslide is of recent origin and may have unearthed this strange craft and has also packed thick mud and stones around it. The picture was taken by a Turkish air survey plane from 10,000 feet up. It is a huge boat-shaped thing, about 500 feet long and 160 feet wide. An expedition including American scientists immediately set out to try to examine it. It's 7 feet, 700, and I don't know why I can't talk this morning. It's 700 feet up the mountain. It's 7,000 feet up the mountain and is rimmed with steep sides of packed earth. Its dimensions are almost exactly that given in Genesis. It says a quick two-day survey revealed no sign that it was man-made. Yet the scientists say that nothing in nature could create such a symmetrical shape. It seems to have a grass-covered mound in the center of it, and it has a 20-foot high rim, much higher than where the horses in the expedition. It has a huge prow, like any ship. Turkish soldiers who went with the expedition dynamited a section of its thick earth-packed side, and small bits of smooth wood were found, but no large chunks of wood, like wood that had been planed off or used or something, nailed there or something. In less than a year, there is quite an expedition going to the craft, and they may discover wonders right there where the Bible says the ark landed. And in the picture, it's a huge thing. It's smooth and oval form in the center. Well, will wonders never cease? Well, I must hurry on. I want to tell you that I had the happy privilege of speaking last Tuesday to the Harvest Years Club of Cassville, Missouri, at a grand dinner at the Rainbow Motel. About 58 or 60 there, men and women. It was a wonderful crowd of people. People who have come to our Ozarks to retire, and they love it here. And they have a grand time. They came and got me and brought me back. the Saggers and Mrs. Garber, and then going back, Mr. and Mrs. Jellies joined us, all charming, very up-to-date people from out in the big world. I had a glorious time with these folks. My, how people are coming from all over the United States to retire in our Ozarks. You just have no idea. And it's grand to meet these retired citizens. They're having these Golden Years clubs now in so many of our Ozark towns. We have them here in Springfield, too. Retired people, you know. Finally, we won't have room to stand in the Ozarks, but we welcome every one of them and hope they keep coming. Again, thanks to many new people who sent trading stamps. I got them last Saturday to help buy the bus for the mentally retarded children in the big home at Marshall, Missouri. And I have some this morning when I get here. I am always amazed at the goodness and the generosity of the women when I get these stamps. Yes, and a few men have saved stamps and sent to us. Mrs. Wyman says there are 900 children, some small from 5 years old, with retarded minds, some of them with epilepsy, to some teenagers who are from our Ozark counties right around Springfield, you know, the counties, southwest counties here, and a few grown-ups are there, you know. That's the reason these Ozark women who are helping, they're helping our Ozark children more than they ever realize. Please send just any sort of trading stamps that you can spare. All of them are good and can be traded in for cash under special arrangement with the committee in charge, the Home Help Organization, which is sort of like a school parent-teacher organization. And Mrs. Wyman is publicity chairman of it. If you will just take a piece of brown paper, any paper, and wrap your stamp books when you send a book, that is, and tie it with good string and address to me, it's so much cheaper than sending the book in an envelope sealed. Less than half cheaper. You know, anything sealed, no matter what it is, goes at letter postage rates. And it's way higher. A lot of people do up a package and forget and seal it. Then it's so much higher. Well, tomorrow is Mother's Day, and I'm going to read two lovely poems and let these poems remind you of the dear old times and of Mother. I'm going to read two poems by very fine men, Carl B. Ike, who is known all over the Midwest as the Postman Poet. He's been very widely published all over America, for that matter. Carl was a postman at West Plains for years, but is now retired and lives with his sister and her husband in Deepwater, Missouri. He was chosen the first Ozark Poet Laureate. And then they had one every year for a long time, you know, several after. He was the first one. He is a lovable and kind-hearted person and seems to me like one of my own boys always. He's almost one of our family, a writer and a poet among the best. This poem of his I like, and I'm going to read it. Ma's Dresser. I was dusting an old dresser, sort of putting things away, and my thoughts went back in fancy to those scenes of yesterday. But in fact, they went much farther than the time I used to know. I could see a lovely lady primping up to meet her beau. She was standing before the dresser with her frills and fancy lace. She was dressed in finest splendor with special care. I must have missed something in special care. It was special care that night, that's what it is. She was dressed in finest splendor and with special care that night while the candles on the dresser cast their gleam of golden light. Now she tiptoes down the stairway to the parlor room below where a gentleman is waiting that it seems I almost know, and she bows to him a greeting that is cordial and sincere while he rises from the sofa. Are you ready now, my dear? Then they drive to see the preacher in a buggy, spick, span, new. And I hear her almost whisper in a gentle voice, I do. Oh, there are heaps and heaps of riches which most folks, they cannot see in that quaint old-fashioned dresser that's been handed down to me. For the bride within this picture was life's finest friend I had. She was my own precious mother, while her beau became my dad. Thank you, Carl. And now I want to say happy birthday to a dear sweet lady in Springfield. This little lady is blind, but she wrote me a splendid letter. She didn't want me to call her name on the air. You know, some people are timid about it. They shouldn't be, but they are. But she will be 84 tomorrow. God bless you, my dear, and thank you for always listening in to me. That does me good today to know that you're listening. I will write you a letter soon. And next Saturday, I will for sure tell you about the ones who have written me. They spelled the old blueback words. I'll not forget it. I just haven't room today. On this Mother's Day broadcast, you know. Now I'm going to read you a poem I have loved a long while by another very well-known man of this city. And so many of you know him and love him, and indeed I do, and my whole family does. Two better men never lived than these I'm reading after today. This last man is O.K. Armstrong, noted editor and writer, novelist, poet, our congressman for some years, and is now on the staff of the Reader's Digest. He's an expert authority on Indian affairs in our government and our country. And my friend he is to his heart's core, as I am his friend, him and his sweet wife, who has been a noted writer herself most of her years. This poem commemorates his mother as Carl Icahn commemorated his. O.K. Armstrong had a wonderful mother. I knew her. And here is the poem about mothers, just mothers, by O.K. Armstrong. They dream such splendid dreams for us. They plan such glowing schemes for us when we are little rosy kids who laugh and cry and coo. And life would be most wonderful instead of blind and blunderful if but one-tenth of mother's dreams would now and then come true. Yet mother's cares laborious and all their visions glorious are things we take as commonplace as but our rightful due. And though they whisper pleadingly, we smash their dreams unheedingly. But still, with undiminished faith, they nurse their dreams anew. And when the world has battered us and fate has maimed and shattered us, when life has turned against us and our lips are wry with rue, upon the mother breast again, our weary heads we rest again, sure of the steadfast tenderness that always sees us through. O love beyond all measuring, O faith forever treasuring, the secret splendid vision, and the hope forever new, O deep abiding mother's love that lasts beyond all others' love, and never doubts that some joyous day its dreams are coming true. Yes, okay, that's true, every word of it. A mother never doubts. She can follow her boy almost to the scaffold and yet still think that he's a wonderful boy. He's her boy. I wanted to read a poem, but I don't have time, but another widely known author, Perry Mason. So tomorrow I'm going, or I mean next Saturday, I'm going to read you Perry's poem about the old home. He's another noted man. Well, goodbye, and I'll be seeing you next Sunday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.